Hello, this is Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Your Performing Edge Coaching International, and we're on our private mentoring call on September 1st today, and so we're going to be talking about lots of different topics, I have an announcement about Google Plus, the new social media, and want to get some stories from you, and then talk about blogging, how to do a blogging schedule, and then share with you some performing edge coaching techniques, some new ones I've come up with, and also talk a bit about marketing, and then if we have time at the end, I'd like to do a visualization with you on for you as coaches, how to build your business and how to get the right mindset for this sort of thing. So. Lots of great stuff. And let's see, announcements. Our schedule will be for these calls. Let's see, it's usually every second and fourth Thursday of the month. This time, we're doing this special call today, a bonus call, and then we'll have one next week, so next Thursday, September 8th. And then we'll have one the last Thursday, since there's actually five Thursdays in September. Yeah, we'll have one the last Thursday, which is September 29th. The fourth one, the one before that, the 22nd, I'll be out of town, so celebrate my birthday. So we'll just not do that week, but do the week afterward, the 29th. So you can put that on your schedule, September 8th and September 29th, all at the same time, 10 Pacific and 1 Eastern. That'll be great. Lauren, I think that we can start with you. I think you had a great running story you related. I know it's so important for us to have our, be able to use these performing edge techniques that we're teaching our clients, use them ourselves in our own lives as well, because the more you can do that, the better you can, be a role model for your clients. You can discover new insights, new things yourself as well. So, Lauren, are you there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it was this past Saturday in Cumberland, Maryland, which is about 2 hours from Baltimore. But it's more in the Appalachian region, more mountains and, more farming, that type of thing, rural area. So I ran the race. It was kind of like
race?
In these back roads. I'm sorry?
Was it a 5 mile race?
Yeah, it was 5 miles. And I'm used to running on a trail that's a little bit flatter. And as I mentioned before, this part of Maryland is a little bit more in the mountains. And the race was actually on these back roads. So a little bit harder on the quads, a little bit more energy for a mile than what I'm used to. And so for the first 2.5 miles, I had a negative mindset, kind of. I wasn't liking the trail and was kind of negative thinking pretty much. So my performance wasn't the greatest.
Hurricane Irene had just come through.
Hurricane Irene just came through.
So
That morning it was in North Carolina, in the Virginia Beach area, which is about 5 hours from here. So we were kind of getting the rain part from it. And as soon as I got to the halfway mark, the guy who was in charge of the race, he was like, "You're halfway there." And I kind of noticed my mindset changed, just within that turning, the halfway point. Well, about, maybe a minute or two later, it just starts storming. Pretty tough. I mean, it was a complete thunderstorm, like as you can imagine. And I ran a half marathon about 2 months ago, and something that helped me during the half marathon was to stay in the present moment. And I know that was something that Dr. Joanne and I had talked about earlier, was to just embrace what you had at that moment. Don't think about the past. Don't think about ending the race. Just think about where you were at that moment. And once the rain came, it kind of took my distraction off of the actual trail of, these high mountain roads. And I started to, look around me, and the mountains were beautiful. The rain was kind of calming, even though it was a very, very hard thunderstorm. It was still calming to a point. And I paid attention to my music, and there were actually cows along the trail, and the cows were mooing. For some reason, I think that'll always stick out to me. that, you know, because you don't experience that when you're running, just cows mooing randomly. So sticking with the present moment, that was what helped me. And it was actually like a very, very exhilarating feeling to, in that present moment, to embrace everything that was around me, what I could see, what I could hear, what I could taste, because since it was raining bad, I could taste my sweat every time I would wipe my face off. So, and by the end, like during it, I was just, I felt more alive once the rain came. So it was actually it ended up starting as like this very negative experience. But then once I focused on the present, it became a very, very positive experience.
It sounds like you really used all your five senses and it took in.
Yeah.
And just, thought, oh, okay, why don't I use this to my advantage instead of, being negative about it? Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thanks,
on making it through the race. And I know I was, I don't know if everyone else knows this, I actually did my master's degree at West Virginia University as well, like you. And so I know the area well there. And it's fantastic. That's great that you're using the performing edge coaching techniques, yourself to get through the race. And you can share, I would say write that down, use that and have that as a story you can tell your clients. Is there someone else on the call, too? It says anonymous here. Is that maybe Christo? I don't know if Christo Spees might be on the call. I've got the lines open right now. If you can hear us, you can chime in and just say hello. Somebody that's on the call that's trying to get on, sort of on and off, but I know with the international calling, it's sometimes the internet, if you're trying to call by Skype, it sort of connection can go in and out. But you can let us know. I think Christo is going to be try to be on the call today from South Africa, and maybe hopefully Ricky from Brazil. We also have someone new who is Floyd Hill from Ontario, Canada, who's a hockey
player. Hi, Jane. It's Christo. Can you hear me?
Hi, Christo. Yeah. Welcome. Oh, it's so good to hear your voice. Yeah. How are you doing?
Yes, there seems to be a bit of delay. I'm very well, thank you. I've been cut off 3-4 times listening to you, so I hope I can stay on now.
Yeah, I see your, I can see you on my screen here, sort of popping on and off. Yeah, how are you doing with your coaching with your clients in South Africa?
It's going well, thank you. I suddenly have a couple of professional golfers that just got their cards last year, and now they're struggling on the pro circuit. And so I'm starting off with quite a number of golfers, and the golf academy here in Bloemfontein also approached me.
Great! Wow, that's fantastic. Do you play golf yourself?
Yeah, I've played quite a number of years ago. Now and again, I just hit a couple of balls, but it takes so long that I get a bit impatient. I prefer the squash and tennis, the shorter stuff at this moment.
Oh, yeah. That's great. So you probably want to, on your website, put some things about golf on there, too. Put all the different sports that you work with, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll have to do that. An exciting thing in South Africa at the moment is the start of the Rugby World Cup in Australia and New Zealand in a couple of weeks. It's not a couple of weeks, it's in 11 days. And they actually bid farewell to the South African team this afternoon in Johannesburg, and they're boarding a plane tonight. And there were thousands and thousands, I think, I don't know how many, it's like 20,000 people or something, gathered there just to see them off to this World Cup. And I plan to start a blog on the mental.
Yeah, the mental side. I think on my screen, I see he just lost the connection there. Yeah, hopefully it will get him back shortly here. But that's fantastic. Yeah, Christo, and for the recording here, in case you can't get back on, I'd suggest just keeping up with the news every day, And then being able to, oh, there you are again. yeah, Christo, are you there?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, you popped off.
Yes, I'm back.
Yeah, do you have a WordPress?
Yeah, I can't believe this.
Do you have a WordPress blog that you can...
Just say again, you broke up? No, I don't. No, I don't have a blog yet. I had one a while ago for my midweek encouragement that I send out, but I haven't done the stuff on that for quite a while, so I have to create a new blog now and get going with that.
Yeah, so I was going to talk about that today, some of the WordPress stuff, and I'll also put a document in the members area there for you so that you can do it yourself, even if you're not technical. I mean, Sue Hasker, you're a great example, Sue, of how you inspired me, actually.
really?
You know, yeah, you know, to because, you know, having no, you know, not a technical background, that you were able to, you know, just figure this stuff out and learn on your own to do a beautiful blog. Your, you know, healyourbest.com is a great example. And so now I'm doing that too. And it's very simple to do yourself. So I don't know, Christo, do you know how to do,
okay,
how to start a WordPress blog? Or have you ever done one? I'll send you a...
No, I have no idea.
Yeah, it's very simple. So I'll send you a document on that. And yeah, it's just a matter of getting...
Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah, you could get another domain name if you want, that is, you know, has keywords. It could be mental coaching, you know, mental toughness coaching or something, you know, with keywords in it, so that you could, I mean, you could do one for each sport if you wanted. But it's better to start with maybe just one about, you know, general mental toughness coaching or some, or performing edge something, whatever you choose.
You see, at the moment there's so many ex players commenting on the World Cup and what they think is going to happen, and they write about the technical aspects of the game which they know a lot of, and then they sort of say stuff about the mental stuff which they have no idea of. And so I think, you know, if I do this properly, I haven't seen anyone else doing this. So maybe there will be people sort of interested in this psyche part of rugby, and hopefully this will bring in something. I'm not sure.
Yeah, we'll always put it on your blog if you can, during the leading up to the rugby world championships and during it, even afterward, you know, if you can write something every day. Sue was just talking before about how, you know, when we come from school, we have the student mentality of, or research, like you have to write this big long thesis or something. But you don't, for a blog, you don't have to do that. It can be very short, and it doesn't have to be academic, or, you know, it doesn't even, you know, it could just be a tip, one comment on one thing that's going on, maybe one of the players or something, and then a tip of how you could do something, and say, and then always put a link or put a link to your coaching page or something free that they can get. You know, you can have a free ebook or something. It's that, you know, people always want something free to get their information, and you want to get on your blog, put an opt-in box in the upper right hand corner, so that you can collect people's names and emails. So I'll send you a little info on how to do that if you want. So that you...
Oh, wonderful, yeah.
And then you could put a link in your blog. I always do that and say, if you want to go, like for mine, I'd say, if you want to go to get my free private mentoring program, go to, and then I got a little URL, peakperformanceplan.com. And that,
Something
simple. And then they can remember that, and then they click on that, and that goes to my page that has where they can, read about what they get, and they can opt in, so they can put their name and email, and and then you can send them emails and what's called autoresponders. So that's emails that can go out every week kind of thing. So I'll send you info about that. The service I use is called VIPrunning.com. So it's just VIPrunning.com, and you could just get the email service or the shopping cart for products as well. So that's one service. There's many out there, but that's the one.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that's the one I've used.
Yeah.
Really good. So, yeah.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you very much.
Okay, yeah.
There was another question I would like to, you don't have to answer it immediately, but if there's time later on, I know you planned, I'm just worried that I'll get cut off again. I've been thinking about, I don't know if you've watched any of the World Athletics Championships.
Yeah.
And two things stood out for me. One was the long jumper, the Russian lady, I forgot her name now, but she had five no jumps, and then she had one jump that counted, which she won the gold medal, I think. And so you know, the mental toughness to get to go flat out for that jump and not be very tentative or technical or move your things. So and then, you know, Usain Bolt getting disqualified and now have to run the 200 meters. If you have an athlete sort of in that position where they've just blew it like the Usain Bolt did in the 100, where do you take them in their minds for the 200, where they have to go through the same start?
Yeah, that's a great question, Christo. And the same thing goes for Usain Bolt, you know, what happened with him. For those of you who haven't been watching the World Championships, track and field are going on now in South Africa. South Korea, and Korea, and they'll be going on all this week. And so there's just been, and it's great to watch. You can watch it on Universal Sports. Even if for most of us, running is something that we either do ourselves or coach athletes on. Or you'll probably get athletes that want to do running. Or running is part of, you know, even with, like, Frank, who's doing soccer. We've got Floyd doing hockey up in Canada now. Ricky down in Brazil has got runners. There's always running is part of the sport of soccer and other things. So what you want to do, I was going to say the second thing that happened, like the long jumper that Christo was talking about, this is huge news that you should know about, is Usain Bolt. He is the, you know, three-time world record holder in the 100 and the 200 meters, and he's the biggest name in the sport right now. He's huge, and people pay, you know, there's millions of dollars spent on, you know, advertising just for him, and all these fans, you know, come just to see him at the race. So what happened was, I mean, he's the biggest name there. And so on Sunday, we were all watching TV with bated breath. And then the 100 comes, and he false started, meaning he, you know, went out of the blocks too quickly. And he was disqualified immediately because the rule is very tough. I mean, I think it's way too tough, most people are saying, that you just get one chance to mess up. But the rule is right now, it's just if you false start even once, you're kicked out. And so he was too excited. He was ready, primed, to set the world record again. He was just so fast in the preliminaries. I mean, he could have just started last out of the blocks and still won the race. He has so much speed. So that's the question. What happens if you are the greatest, if everything is going for you, you're set to do the best performance of your life, and you make the biggest mistake of your life? I just want to throw that out to you guys. How would you counsel that athlete? Anybody have any ideas? You guys can jump in here if you like. Christo or anyone else? You know, if you had that athlete that just got disqualified and all of a sudden he walks off the track, what do you say to him? Because Usain Bolt has to come back now to do the 200, just like the long jumper does too. Do you guys have any ideas?
I was thinking more of how to use that as motivation rather than viewing it as a failure.
Uh-huh.
You know, for the next race, using it to motivate him more rather than set him back.
Yeah, exactly. And I think one key thing is that, just if you after this go to your website, just Google that in. Usain is Usain Bolt, Bolt. You can see all kinds of comments about it, and he has 5 days in between the disqualification and the 100 meter false start before he has to set out. He sets out this salvage his world championship campaign for the 200 meter on Friday tomorrow. So he said here was a brief statement issued by him on Monday saying he was extremely disappointed, but he said there's no point to dwell on the past. He said, I have a few days to refocus and get ready for the 200 meter on Friday. After this, I have the in the 4x100 on Sunday. I know that I am now in good shape and will focus on running well in the 200. So he was just using it, like you say, Lauren, to, you know, use it as motivation and saying there's no point in dwelling on the past. I mean, that's the key. I think most people would, if you made a mistake like that, the mind goes to that mistake and you replay it over and over in your mind, and then the body follows those mental instructions and you say, oh my God, I did this. Why did I do this? Overanalyzing and going on and on. And of course, you're going to do that for short, for some period of time afterwards. And I think if I was coaching an athlete, you know, like Usain Bolt or the long jumper, I would, first thing I would do is let them talk, you know, if I was right there with them. I mean, you want to just, there's going to be all those emotions there of, oh man, I screwed up. God, I can't believe I did that, or I can't believe this is happening. And all that, you have to let the person just talk about all of that and not, at first, not say, oh, don't think about it because the mind's thinking about it. You got to have some way of processing it through. And everybody has their own way of getting through it, I think. And so you let that athlete process it through in whatever way is best for them, whether it's, you know, cussing or getting upset, you know, just being crying or letting out the emotion in some way. I mean, that's natural. The body, you've got to let out that emotion somehow. And one thing to do is an exercise to give the athlete would be to write it down, have them write down, okay, you know, we can't change this, but you can. What you can do is write down all your emotions, write down your feelings, what's going through your mind right now. And what that does is it can help your brain help get all those thoughts out of your cerebral, so they're not in your, they're on paper, you know. And so you give them an exercise like that where they write down everything that they're thinking and feeling. And then it helps to sort of accelerate the processing because, like, Usain Bolt only has these 5 days to regroup, get back to what he's doing. And like you said with Krista, with the long jumper, I mean, yeah, using those 5 jumps and then messing up and then doing the one last jump to win the gold medal is just phenomenal. That was, where was she from? Sweden, was it? I don't know, Krista, are you there? I see you on the screen, but you might not be able to hear me. Yeah, if are you there? I can hear a little bit of crackling in the background.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Sweden or Russia? I can't remember now. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think you have to let the athlete. Does that make kind of make sense? You have to let
I'm here. I was off again, but I'm back on.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Could you hear what I said about just letting the athlete first express their emotions and go through whatever they need to go through to process things. You know, if you say right away, oh, just don't think about it, you know, you're going to get the athlete really upset because they're thinking about it, how they just messed up or how they're not doing well. You've got to, you know, you let them process things through it first and deal with their emotions. Everybody's got their own way of dealing with it. But then when it comes to the next jump, then when they get back into the performance, that's when they have to let it go and just say, okay, what am I focusing on? I'm focusing on this next jump or focusing on this next run. And a lot of times athletes can use that energy, use that anger, even if it's anger, frustration. You know, if you can channel it right into the next event, just like the long jumper did, boom, you know, you've got a gold medal. Because it's kind of like she took all the energy that she had from the 5 bad jumps and put it into the 1 good jump, right? Plus, it makes a great story, right? So, yeah, those are incredible stories. And that's the kind of thing that you can blog about, even if running isn't your sport necessarily. Or if it is, I mean, people are searching on that kind of thing right now.
I think that's what the difference between mediocre athletes and the top athletes, because at the mind.
Yeah, I think Yeah, go ahead. I think his connection's going in and out again. Yeah, I think so. The difference between mediocre and is that the top athletes can handle any situation, or hopefully top athletes can be consistent and handle tough situations better, and be able to bounce back no matter what's going on, focus no matter what's going on, because they have a lot of experience with this kind of thing. So I guess that's a key, that if you can take whatever the situation is with your client and help them to understand the lesson. You know, that chapter in my book called Losing and Learning is a really valuable chapter to go back to. I think it's in section 5 of your Performing Edge book, and read that over, and I talk about how losing or making a mistake is a chance to learn things about yourself that you couldn't learn in any other way. And we learn more about ourselves when we make a mistake than we do any other time. That's a chance to really look at yourself and say, okay, you can go over it with your coach and say, what did I do wrong? And how did I mess up? And express your emotions. But you can also say, okay, what's the lesson here? How can I move forward and do this better next time? Kind of thing. Yeah. So that sounds great. Christo, I don't know if you're there. Or Sue, do you have any thoughts on that? Sort of bouncing back. I know you've dealt with a lot with your own injuries and a lot of injuries.
I think it helps to, you know, process all of the emotions. Don't avoid any of them because they'll keep creeping in anyway. So then you take what is still okay about it and try to do more of that. You know, you don't want to ignore the fact that you're either in pain or you lost a race or whatever, but if you stay in that cycle, it'll only multiply. So whatever you stay wrapped up in will get bigger.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, so... yeah, exactly. So what you want to do is say, okay, this happened, and I'm going to process it through. Because sometimes when you're in the middle of a performance like this, competition, you only may, like with the long jumper, you only have that afternoon. You don't, I mean, you can say to yourself, okay, well, this is happening, but I'm moving, moving on and sometimes you just have to put your emotions aside. If the competition is coming up that you have to perform again and you have to do another jump, say, okay, I'm going to put these emotions in a little box here and a file and deal with them later after the jump. And then you can process things through afterward. It's okay if you have to perform right then to temporarily say I can't, I've got to think about my next jump because that's what's happening, right?
Yeah.
So,
I think that's the part, that's the thing I don't really, I'm not a competitive athlete, I just have to get through a day. So I don't know how to think quite like an athlete would, how to compartmentalize that well, you know, put it aside for now and just do what I have to do.
Yeah. I think it's a good skill for to learn that athletes have to need to learn and... you know, it's a good life skill in general to be able to just say, because sometimes we really have to focus on a task. You know, let's say you've got a deadline, and same thing with our work. You've got a book deadline. Like I'm writing I was asked to write 3 chapters for a new book coming out called Triathlon Science Book, published by Human Kinetics, and it's actually due in two. It's exciting. It's due in 2 weeks now. My part of the book, and I've got tons of things going on, but I have to totally focus on that. You know, even though many other things are happening, that deadline is really important, and I have to totally focus on that. So it's a good skill to teach your athletes to compartmentalize or to block off, or if you are going to have emotions, say, okay, another way to do it is say, okay, here's the time, you know, I'm going to say from 5 to 6 o'clock tonight, is I'm going to, I know it's hard to do because the mind doesn't work that way, but to be able to say, I'm going to have time each day to express my emotions and feel my emotions, and then also I've got to have time to focus on my project or focus on my sport. And so, you know, sort of almost schedule that time. So, yeah, so I was just going to, I think this is a great topic, though, that we're talking about here, and how to use the events that are happening in the news to be able to blog about them, and you know, you can just go to, you know, search on those different topics, find out what's being said in the news, you know, to copy and paste a little bit of it into say a Word document, and then say okay, or here's a quote from somebody. You could use athlete quotes, and then or an experience, what happened, and then say here's my comment on that. My expert opinion, and after, as you keep doing that, you'll get to seen as the expert in that area, and you could take any angle that you want. So, for instance, Sue, when you're dealing with injuries and healing from injuries, you could any of these situations involve healing and change. You could say, how can I, you know, write about this to be the expert in healing or transformation. And, Lauren, you could write about how to, you know, people that are struggling with a mental health issue, something to be able to come back and be able to manage even under tough situations. So you can use these sports analogies as a way to teach lessons to people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's great. So, So, yes, and another story I wanted to mention to you just from the World Championships that you can follow, too. Sue, this is great for you with people overcoming injuries, too, and or dealing with physical disabilities, which I think all of us as athletes, you know, need to work with. TJ couldn't be with us today. I guess she's but I think she's going to be here next week. You know, TJ's working with injuries, too. Of course, as a massage therapist up in Oregon. And Duran, I think Duran's over in Italy right now somewhere. And he's, you know, working with that area as well. Is the second story with in the World Championships is Oscar Pistorius, who is a amputee. He was born at 11 months. He had both of his feet amputated, and you know, below the knee, and so he only has no feet, and no you know, half his leg is gone on both legs, and he was born like that, and so but he became a great runner. He has prostheses, and the prostheses have developed to the point now where they call him the Blade Runner. If you just search on Oscar Pistorius, P-I-S-T-O-R-I-U-S, Oscar Pistorius, Blade Runner, they call him, because he's got these feet that are, they look like little springs, kind of thing that go out. He's he has been competing as a 400-meter runner in the Paralympics. You know, the Paralympics are for people with physical disabilities. He's been competing for the last many, many years. But he's gotten so good that there's no competition there for him. He beats everybody, and so he applied to be able to compete in the regular World Championships with able-bodied people like us. And he at first they rejected him and said he couldn't do it, but now he asked again and got through, and they said they accepted him and said he could compete in this World Championships. So you see him out there. You can, if you YouTube it, you can see him actually running on these blades, the Blade Runner, on these little springs that go, you know, that are his feet, his prostheses, and he's actually made it to the, I think it was the semifinals in the World Championships, you know, running the 400 meters. So you see everyone else out there with feet, and you see this guy. You say, which one does not match? But he's just, I think, an amazing story of how you can, you know, be born without, 11 months, have both legs amputated and make something of that, you know, just decide. He's got a great story there, and how you could actually, he's the first person of that type that's ever made it to a world championship level. So, and he had to fight for it through all these different committees to be able to run at the world championships. Even though he didn't win, I think he's, you know, he made it to a very high level. So it's a great story, an inspirational story that you could use for, you know, when other people are saying, oh, I've got a cold, or oh, I've got an injury, or, you know, I've got something, we're sort of whining about this or that. You know, you realize there's other people that have no feet at all. Like <it's> like, you know, they don't, or, you know, have much more of a disability and yet are able to move forward. So, yeah, it's really exciting. So that's a great story you could blog about, too. So one thing I wanted to tell you as well is to switch gears a little bit with just some other news that's coming up is we talked about Google Plus last week, which is the new social media outlet, you know, like Facebook and Twitter. You know, Google, obviously, they do everything in a big way. So it's just getting started. It's brand new, but it's going to be really big, I'm sure. And right now they've, you know, if you go there to plus.google.com, I think it says you can't get in, that it's by invitation only. They're sort of letting people in slowly. Well, I got to know someone. You have to know the right people. I know the people that are in. So I got an invitation from someone who is in Google Plus, and now I can invite other people into Google Plus myself. So I'm happy to invite all of you. So I'll send each of you an invitation if you'd like, and then you can be part of Google Plus too. And develop. I think it's really good so you can get your own name. Like if you have a name that's really common, like Sue Hasker, that's probably a common name. You might, you know, there might be other Sue Haskers out there. So it'd be good for
actually,
you to
there's
say.
Only two of us.
Oh.
There's only two. But no, I already have. I'm already on Google Plus. But, yeah, it's fun. I just haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah, that's I'm on it, but I haven't really played around with it enough to, like, know how it works yet.
Are you on it, Lauren?
Yeah, I'm actually on it right now.
I mean, are you
trying to
see?
Do
you have an account in Google Plus?
I think so, because it just transfers from your Gmail, right?
If you go, it has those little circles on there. There's like four circles, one for family, friends, and that kind of thing. If you see that, then that's the Google Plus. Well, I had a Gmail account, but they didn't give me an account myself.
Well, yeah, I got invited, like how you said. Someone else invited me, and I think that's how I got to be in it.
Okay, good. So you guys are all set then. And I have you can form new groups, new circles, they call them, in Google Plus.
Mm-hmm.
And so I formed a Performing Edge Coaches group, circle, just for you guys. And so, I can invite you into my circle there. I have to we're all figuring it out here because it's brand new. But, so you can put people in different groups kind of thing. So we can have a, you know, Performing Edge Coach group there. So that way we can comment back and forth if you'd like and on things that are going on. And that can help because Google, you know, it's all tied into Google search engine rankings. That can help with our search engine rankings, too, for all of us. So, so that's a good thing that you guys are on there. And then the next topic I want to talk about was just some Sue was mentioning blogging schedule. It's good to have get yourself on a regular schedule with your blog either – every day is the best, even if, like, say, 15 minutes a day. You can actually, in 15 minutes, you could put up a new blog of some sort. It could be just a short comment, a short tip on something. It could be a question. It could be a short article. Anything. It could be a checklist. It could be a top 10 or top 5 tips. It could be all kinds of things. And just do it on a regular basis is the important thing. Once a day is optimal. The next, or if you can't do that, then every 2 to 3 days, it would be great. And or once a week at a minimum, would be great to keep your that'll keep your website rankings up and stuff. So yeah, and with Lauren, I don't think you don't have a website yet, do you?
No, I do not.
Yeah, because you're brand new with this, but I'll send you a document on how to get started with that if you're interested.
Yeah,
and it's great. Even non-techies can do this kind of stuff because we're all non-techies. sort of, I call myself medium tech, not quite high tech, but since you're you probably can figure this stuff out, right? You don't have to be a coder or a computer expert at all these days. It's just point and click. It's much simpler. It's so simple to do. And then you can just start, actually within a day or two, you can just have a simple blog up. Within a few hours, you can get this thing going. Probably within 1 to 2 hours, it's amazing. You can have a blog and then you can start blogging about this stuff. And then you can add to it. They can grow with you so that you can, it's really fun to do and you can connect with people and it gets your name out there. So you could be thinking, Lauren, think about a domain name. Something that you'd like to have as for your website too. It can be
okay.
And I'll send you a link for that. And you can a good criteria for a domain name is something that's short and easy to say. It's easy to spell, and just has your if it has some keywords in it, like words that people might be searching on, like performance or mental training or something that's good, but it doesn't have to have keywords. I think Google is placing less emphasis on the actual title now and just more on the keywords that you use in your articles, that sort of thing. But something that tells what you do, then you can start making a name for yourself and start. I mean, Duran just started with about 3 or 4 weeks into the course here. He had his website up and was starting to bring in clients and became an affiliate of Performing Edge Coach. This program put his. You can get an affiliate link. You just go up to the top of the website there. It's in the area on. And I sent it in that last document I put out for you. If you go to if you go to Coach Resources at the top of the page on the members area, there I have the link there for to become an affiliate. It's free, and then you can just click on that, and then you can put that link on your website. Just put grab like the top of my my banner, which is what or header. That's what Duran did, and put it on his website. Just put it on a post there, page then on your website, and then you just link that, have your affiliate link, so you get your own unique affiliate link, and then people start clicking on it. It goes to my description page of the Performing Edge Coach Training Program, and when people sign up, you get a 30% commission. So it's a great way to earn back your investment in this course real quickly, and then make a good income from that. So it's a good way to start if you don't have your own products right away to have things that you promote that you really believe in. And that way we can help get the word out about the course. It's a great way that you and I can partner together. So so that's a really good thing to start with. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the Performing Edge techniques, coaching techniques. So I was going to go through each of some of the chapters in the book, in the Your Performing Edge book. And I know Sue had asked for this earlier, and it's really something I want to do for you is to kind of give you a lesson plan or a way to, that if you have a client, you can take them through each of the chapters in the book and each of the, as well as many other concepts that I'm coming up with, and be able to use that to coach your clients so that, like, if a client doesn't have an agenda or a question or a specific thing, you can you could use this to teach them, some of the concepts and give them homework assignments, that kind of thing. So in Chapter 1, I talk about, that's called Discover Your True Potential. It's a kind of a motivational chapter, and it talks about the, you know, all the different possibilities for an athlete. I think that's a really good way when you're starting with someone to talk about sort of their journey as an athlete, and that, you know, all the lessons that you can learn along the way, and emotional, physical, you know, and lessons you can learn both athletically and personally. And so talk about, you know, how the athletes can really make a transformation as they're doing this coaching. And one of the first things you want to do with working with your athletes is be able to, you know, give them a sense of hope that they're going to be able to, you know, learn many lessons and experiences through your coaching. So training becomes, you know, a lot more than just physical competition, but it's really the perfect teaching ground for their own, you know, personal discovery, development. So there's a section in the chapter there where I talk about common concerns for athletes, and I list several things there. Like, you know, oftentimes athletes are too concerned about the results, focusing on the final outcome instead of just the process of their training. And a lot of athletes or people might have low self-esteem, and or they've got, you know, they don't really have a strong sense of their personal identity, or their whole identity is based around their sport and their competition. Or around one particular thing, whatever it is in their life, or they may have unreasonable expectations, have too much of an external orientation. So those are the kinds of things you could do a little assessment with and ask your clients what of these five areas that I list there, what things are do they struggle with, or rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you rate yourself with regard to, you know, how much you are, you know, focusing too much on the results, that kind of thing. And so, you know, do a baseline at the beginning, and then you could do halfway through your coaching, a few weeks later, do another assessment, and then one at the end, so you could rate their progress. Yeah, so that's one thing that you could do. And then you want to talk about the, you know, the value of mental preparation with your athletes, I think, is really important, especially in those first sessions, how, or with the people that you're working with. I should say, I know Lauren and Sue, you guys are working on more the non-athletes or the everyday person. We can call them the everyday athlete, right? Or someone who is, someone who's, you know, just wanting to use physical fitness to help with their mental health. And so you can tell them how, you know, use that analogy, how just like we work out our bodies, we need to also exercise the brain. So mental training is like taking your brain to the gym, and we want to have that mental flexibility, right? Have your, just like you want your body to have many speeds and gears, we also need the mind to be more flexible so you can shift into those more positive gears. So I think one thing that you could talk about, one thing you could do with your athletes is, or with your clients, is to talk about a major, you know, the possibility of having a major breakthrough that they could, you know, really make a huge difference in the way that they think about their training, the way they think about their lives. Just open that possibility for them that they could really, with your coaching, have a huge breakthrough in their just whether in whatever it is that they want to do, whether it's in their performance, maybe it's in their enjoyment of their life, maybe it's a breakthrough in just their thinking process. So think about that. If you know, that's a good question to ask your clients. If you were to have a major breakthrough, what would that look like? Just having those words out there in front of them oftentimes will, you know, help people to open up new possibilities, a breakthrough. And all of a sudden they start thinking in a different direction. You know, if I could go way beyond where I'm at right now, what would that look like? So ask them that question and ask them to write it down, to tell you about it during the session, and then also to write it down during the week. So that's a good little exercise you could have them do. And then the next, you can also talk about, in Chapter 1, I talk about the attributes of top performers. And there's a whole a list there of about 10 or 8 different things. So you could go through each of those 8 areas and ask your client where they are on with those different 8 areas. The first one's mental flexibility. And you can talk about with the proper training and proper coaching, like they can get with you, then they can... you know, really build those qualities of confidence and mindfulness and concentration, imagery, goal setting. All of these things are possible. So ask them, you know, where are you at with mental flexibility, like being a multidimensional athlete, many ways of viewing a situation. And then ask them to comment on that and talk about that. Self-understanding, you know, ask them to... you know, where are you at with understanding yourself? Self-improvement, you know, assess your weaknesses and your strengths. So ask them about that. Balance is a really key area. How do you, where are you at with balance? And ask them, you know, most people are way out of balance. There's usually one part of our life we're not focusing on or not, you know, that we have, you know, that we're not good enough at. Or that's out of balance. So ask them, what area of your life are you out of balance on? And what would that look like if you had a harmonious lifestyle? So have them draw a picture for you of that. And then courage is another great area. Ask them to give you an example of courage, of a situation where they were really courageous or something where they'd like to be, have more courage. So being able to, you know, handle adversity, taking risks, learning from mistakes, and ask them about that. And then another area is responsibility. So ask them to how are you at taking charge of your own training to do your best and accept your part in the outcome. So ask them to tell you about responsibility and where they're at now and where they'd like to be. And then resilience is another area, recognizing, you know, being able to, you know, when things aren't going so well, how are you? Well, are you able to bounce back? Just like talking about with Usain Bolt. Yeah. So there's all kinds of you know, being able to be resilient, whatever situation is coming along, especially something where you made a major mistake. And then there's openness, being able to be open to whatever happens and learning lifelong lessons. Ask your athletes about that. And a couple other areas are enjoyment. You know, most of the time people will be coming to you because they're not enjoying what it is that they're doing. And so you want to find out about that and find out what enjoyment would look like if they were enjoying their sport or their life more, enjoying their activities for the pure pleasure that they create. And then the last area is vision, you know, asking your clients what is your vision of what you'd like things to look like, what you'd like the outcome of this coaching to be, and your vision of what you'd like your life to look like. So, you know, if you were to follow your passion, what would that look like? So ask your clients to really explore that so that they can really tell you, you know, really brainstorm and just open up all the possibilities. Let's say that, you know, imagine that time or money or your circumstances are not keeping you in the way, are not holding you back. Just brainstorm about what a vision would look like. And later on you can prioritize and, you know, figure out what's possible. But first you want to get your client to just really open up to you about all the possibilities, what they would like to happen. And even on the phone, I'll do that with clients, or a prospective client. If someone's calling to ask about, you know, something, I'll ask them to tell me your vision of what it is you'd like to happen. And all of a sudden, you know, there's a transformation almost that happens. Their whole mindset changes, and they get really positive and excited and energized just thinking about all the things that could happen with the coaching. So it's a great way to bring in clients to your and to believe in you and to trust you and to get excited about all the things that could happen with the coaching that you do. So those are some, those are with the attributes of top performers. So I'll send you a document this week about that, ways that you could use Chapter 1 with your clients, and then also talk about the integrated athlete, the last little section there. How could you be a real multidimensional person and be able to integrate all the different parts of yourself? That's really important, too. Because you're not just, working with people just for performance. I think that this kind of work goes beyond that. It's like this little kid, Danny, I've been working with, his 12-year-old, his parents are telling me that, that we came to you just to start with his working on his running and his go-kart racing, but it's really gone beyond that. It's much more than that. You're helping him with his schoolwork and his, feeling better about himself, and he's just really excited about life. So that's what you want to happen, is all these things, come together so that you're working on the whole person. And that way you'll get people to stay longer with you and to want to continue to work with you and refer others to you and just have a really successful practice. So, so that's a little bit of information on that. Let me turn I just had that on mute for a second there, so we had I'll just take this off mute, open up the lines here. Do you have comments on that? You have the first chapter there, or things that you could do with that, you guys? Anybody, Sue or Lauren? Or?
Well, when you kind of get their vision of what they want, then it makes it easier for you to work with them, because it's like that rapport building, you kind of need to know them before you know what to work on.
Exactly. Yeah, I think so. So you want to get their vision first, so that it's their vision you're working on, not your vision necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can create a vision with them. It's like a partnership. Yeah, and so you want to keep doing that. And that's a process you can do throughout when you're first working with a client, and then throughout the coaching as well. Find out what their vision is, how it's changed. Maybe at first, clients might have a real narrow vision of what's possible. They just want to get through the day. If they're really depressed, just get a few things done, get a few things organized in their lives. And as you work with them more, then their vision may well open up to where they're not just in survival mode, but they're actually in growth mode. Yeah, moving forward and wanting to do more and more, and realizing, wow, this is I'm just there's so much more I could do with my health, with my life and fitness, and they might want to, who knows, run your 5-mile race like you did, Lauren,
mm-hmm.
in the rain, pouring rain with the mooing cows. I think it's a beautiful story you just told, so that's great.
Thanks.
Running the cow to cow 5 miler. Running along. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I rode my bicycle across the country, back in 1976. Mm-hmm. And in the bike centennial, it was this event called the Bike Centennial, which is it was to celebrate the bicentennial. And we rode all the way across the country from, it was 5,000 miles from Yorktown, from Reedsport, Oregon to Yorktown, Virginia, went over every hill we can. I remember one morning in Colorado, we woke up, it wasn't a race, it was a tour type thing, and we were camped out every night, just brought all our own equipment, no sag wagons, just all our own stuff. And we woke up one morning and there were these cows right in the middle of the road, hundreds of them, I guess they were just kind of crossing the road, and they wouldn't get out of the way, so we just had to ride behind them. but hundreds of cows moo.
Yeah.
We're saying, moo.
We've all been there, I guess.
Yeah. So, we got to ride behind the cows and the cow poo, of course, along the road.
Oh, gosh.
But it was a real experience. A great picture to have, for sure. A YouTube moment. So, all right, well, great talking with you all, and we'll talk next week, Thursday, the same time, and bring your questions. You can feel free to email them to me if you have questions along the way, and we'll talk more. Let's see, we didn't get to the WordPress stuff this time, but I'll send you a document on that, how to start doing your WordPress site, and then if you've already done it, you know, tips for improving it too. So yeah, and then we'll do the visualization next week when I to help you with your coaching too. All right. So yeah, that sounds good. Any other questions? Yeah, good to talk with all of you, and yeah, glad you're on Google Plus too. So we'll talk next week, Thursday at it's September 8th at the same time, 10 Pacific, 1 Eastern. So thanks everyone for joining us, and I just absolutely love talking with you guys and helping, and really I feel like we're really gaining a great performing edge community here of coaches, supportive group that where we can all help each other move forward. So it's great. Thanks for investing your time today, and we'll talk next week.
Right, thanks, Dr. Joanne.
Sure. All right. Bye. Yeah, bye. Have a great week.
Bye.